monitoring the mountains of the West, parting the Pine Curtain of the East, and keeping watch over the prairies and hills in between. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
We welcome to the program Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Texas, Dan Patrick. There was a big blow-up yesterday in Austin that I covered here on the show regarding the Legislative Budget Board, often just called the LBB. And the Lieutenant Governor put a press release out yesterday, a little bit upset that the director of the Legislative Budget Board sent off a letter without, I guess, without the board itself having final say or yay or nay or putting their names on it. And then there was a little back and forth with the Speaker's office, which is no surprise on this issue. Lieutenant Governor Patrick, why don't you give folks the background of what's going on here with the Legislative Budget Board and this attack on the governor's veto power?
Hey, Robert, good to be with you. And you know what? I know for your listeners and the public, we get down the weeds on process. You know, folks just want to know what did you do, not how it happens. And secondly, they don't like to see feuding. So there's no feuding here. In fact, I'm supporting the governor at this point. I'm not sure where the speaker is, but very quickly, the Legislative Budget Board, it is comprised of myself as a co-chair and four other senators, the speaker as a co-chair, and four House members. So there's 10 legislators on it. And we oversee, you know, the finances in large part of the state during the interim and during session. Under us, we have an executive director. There's an agency. And that agency is headed up by Mrs. Parks, and she has 150 people that work on her staff. So this is the body of government that is looking at public policy and managing issues concerning our budget. And when you put in perspective that our budget is $209 billion, it takes a lot of people to put that budget together, to study issues, and that's what they do during and in between sessions. You know, senators and representatives are there on a part-time basis, although it's a full-time job, but every other year. And as senators, they don't have major staffs or representatives. So you need a body in the government to kind of oversee our money and help with that process. So that if we for example, Robert, if you were a senator, you may have a question about, well, how much money are we spending on this? Where is this money going? What is the purpose of this, et cetera? And that's the agency you turn to get the answers. That's what they do. And so after session, the governor has a veto period of 20 days, and he vetoed about $230 to $40 million out of the budget. That's his prerogative as governor. Now, whether that veto was done appropriately or not is what is the heart of this. And so the director who works for me as lieutenant governor and works for the speaker, that director, Ms. Parks, came to us with a concern that the veto was not appropriate. I asked her, our staff did, to give us her reasons, which she did. We then, our staff, sat down with the governor's staff, and they staunchly defended the governor's right to cut this money out of the budget. I decided that we can continue to look at this during the interim, but that I was not going to sign a letter to the controller saying that the governor did not have this power. I supported his cuts of $200 or $300 million. Mm-hmm. The process of how it was done that is under question is something that we can just work through. And so I was disappointed, as I said in my statement yesterday, as lieutenant governor and as co-chair and in essence the elected official who oversees her department, when I say, look, we've listened to the governor, we've heard your argument, we support the governor's position, we're not going to be a party to a letter, and we'll work through this, that should have been enough.
Well, is this Lieutenant Governor?
And you'll notice the speaker didn't sign it either, but she persisted in writing a letter. And I just wanted to make it very clear because otherwise people would be saying, well, gee, Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor, must disagree with the governor
Let me interrupt, Lieutenant Governor, and ask you a question here, because one of the things that the governor's office lashed back pretty heavily, used some strong words, unelected bureaucrats. But what I saw yesterday in looking at the legal argument being made by Ursula Parks and staff, and then the information provided by the governor's office, is that they're making a legal argument that the Constitution doesn't permit this particular type of what all of us would understand the line item veto to be, exactly what Governor Perry's done, exactly what Governor Abbott did, but they're making a legal argument. It may or may not have merit. However, it appears they left out of it a Supreme Court ruling from the 1970s that already should have clarified this. But the bigger question is this not Washington, D.C.-itis attacking us, where staff, where non-elected people step up and begin to try to run the government? And it bothers me. You said something. She works for you. She works for you all on the legislative budget board. Why in the world are staff?
And that means she works for the people of Texas who elect.
But why would a staff? Why would the staff be putting forth essentially a policy position that the board itself didn't vote to authorize as the board's position? Is there something statutorily that requires her to do this so that she's not just simply acting on her own outside of the proper way of doing it, or what?
No, and I, you know, someone said, well, why didn't you tell her not to write the letter? Look, if there's a public employee who believes that they're right and they want to write a letter to the controller about this issue or anyone else, that's their right. I'm not going to tell them not to do it. But when you say to someone, I've heard your argument, I've heard the government's argument, I'm not going to write a letter to the controller saying the governor was wrong and let's work through this, most people would get the message. And again, the speaker didn't sign her letter either. So she decided to act on her own. And you're absolutely right, and this is what Governor Abbott said in his release. He's tired of bureaucrats. Look, sometimes, you know, we have a lot of good public servants in Austin who work really hard. I mean, incredible people. But sometimes, people who run big agencies think that they were elected.
Right, and they tend to believe they're the ones setting policy. We see this down at the local level with city managers and people who go beyond executing the laws passed or the rules or ordinances passed, and they begin to try to set policy. It just seems regardless of the value of her legal argument in her letter, what seems the most disgusting about this is simply the director of the hired hand of the budget board speaking in an official capacity to the comptroller and trying to say that the governor's vetoes were invalid based on a legal argument, if that's not the position that the board, you know, would meet and then vote upon.
And we did not have a board meeting on the issue with the other senators or the other members. She came to us. She went to the speaker, I assume. And again, I can't speak for the speaker, but we didn't initiate this. She brought it to us. And look, if someone, I have a staff. If someone brings me an issue, tell me why. I want to look at it. You know, so when she brought it to our staff, we said, absolutely. You know, tell us what your concerns are, and then we'll go talk to the governor, which we did.
Right now, you saw both sides. You saw the legal arguments being made that there's this massive expansion of gubernatorial power, which, by the way, I would be all for if it means an expansion of the veto power, because we have a very weak governor system here. However, you've looked at the arguments. The Abbott administration pointed out that the argument ignores a Supreme Court decision in the state that did define an appropriation differently.
Right.
What's your take on the actual merits of the argument that somehow the governor doesn't have the right to go in and line item these things because they're not actual appropriations? They're all these little riders and things that are tucked into bills.
Well, we made the decision after listening to the governor's strong, and I don't mean specifically the governor, but his team of lawyers and finance people, that our evaluation was the governor felt very strongly about this, and that's why we're not going to write a letter to the controller to say the governor was wrong, but let's continue talking about this. And just, you know, that's what people do. And the director decided to step out and you know, make this an issue that I was disappointed in. But to your point, Robert, to show you what you're talking about is a great example. If you remember last year during the interim, before session, the Racing Commission decided to basically legalize slot machines.
Yeah,
Texas,
on their own. They just decided they were going to be the legislature and just change the law in Texas.
And all 20 Republican senators signed a letter to the Racing Commission. I was still a senator. I was running for office. And we said, this is not under your purview. I'm paraphrasing. You did not have the right to do this. The legislature has spoken on this. And if the legislature wants to change it, they will. So they refused. They refused to change their position. So I instructed our finance chair, Jane Nelson, and she was in total agreement, we zeroed out their funding this session. And there was a hearing, and they still persisted that they had the right to do it. They just being hard-headed about it. And finally, they changed their mind, I think, when they realized we weren't going to fund their agency. They were wrong to do that. I will tell you, Robert, we had a situation when I was a freshman, and I was in 2007, and this was all new to me. I mean, I knew policy, but I'm learning how it all works. And I'm hearing that our then transportation chairman of our committee couldn't get a meeting with the head of TxDOT. Head of TxDOT refused. And I said to the chairman of the committee, I said, Senator, I'm a rookie here, but I don't understand this. You're elected by the people, and the chairman of TxDOT won't meet with you? Nope, won't meet with me. I just found that unbelievable.
Well,
and, so,
and it's an issue we've spoke about on this show, including specifically with that out-of-control agency. And I want to ask you one more question before we let you go, and that is this. We're visiting with Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick. Does the letter she sent to the comptroller, Ursula Parks, the director, the hired hand chief of the budget board, does it have any kind of legal weight with the comptroller regarding the budget?
You know, that would have to be determined. The comptroller is dealing with the issue, and it is my understanding, and I've talked with the comptroller directly, Glenn Hager, who did a fine job this session. I talked to Glenn. He served in the Senate and the House and understands the legislative process. He simply said, this question has been raised. If anyone has an opinion on it, then write me a letter. I didn't write him a letter.
Right.
The governor didn't write him a letter, obviously, and the speaker didn't write him a letter. But
is your thought that someone, if they actually wanted to act upon it and try to attempt to declare null and void the governor's vetoes, they would probably have to go the route of filing suit in district court?
Yes, and somebody, you know, I don't know if someone's going to do that or not, but do I still have you or did I lose you?
No, we're here.
Okay, I heard something click. And I know, you know, you called. I want to be clear. I'm not calling her a hired hand. I have respect for her position and her work.
She is a hired hand by the people of Texas. That's not denigrating
her. She
works
for the people of Texas.
Right.
She works for the people of Texas. I think she was wrong in this. I have been concerned about the Legislative Budget Board expanding their powers a little too much for an unelected body. I do have concerns that one person hires and fires 150 people. That may reflect their views and maybe not the people's views since this is not elected office. And so I have recommended to the speaker that we have a joint committee to review our legislative agencies that don't come under sunset, and let's walk through this. And whatever reforms we need to make them. And then again, this should have just been resolved once I said I wasn't signing the letter as co-chair, once the speaker apparently, I mean, he didn't sign it. I don't know what his reason was. But once she didn't have support from the two co-chairs, and my recommendation was, we'll just work through this. Then we could have just sat down and said, okay, well, let's walk through this and figure out and see it. So that's the point.
Again, well, has the speaker agreed to an interim committee to address it?
We have not gotten a response yet from the speaker's office, and
very good.
Move on. But again, we agreed with the $200 or $300 million cuts. Look, the legislature doesn't want to give up power to the executive branch, and I understand that. We don't want to do that either. But we agreed. We thought the governor's team made a strong enough argument, countering Ms. Park's argument that we were not prepared to write a letter at this point and say he shouldn't have done this. So,
very good.
I'm trying to do my job and represent the people who elected me. They want us to not spend a lot of their tax dollars. At the same time, I have to represent the Senate to be sure that everything is being done right. And this will move on, and we'll figure how this works out. But we don't want, I'll close with this, Robert. It is good we have a part-time legislature. It is a full-time job. I mean, I really haven't hardly stopped working since the 1st of June, as senators and reps work. But the downside is, since we're only there 6 months, and then we're gone for 18 months, when we're gone, those agency people are there every day.
Meet up with other Pratt on Texas listeners on Facebook. Username Pratt on Texas.